Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, let's go to James chapter 1. Amen. Let me try it again. James chapter 1. Amen. We're going to be talking about doubt. Hallelujah. We started a series Sunday morning. I'm going to continue it on. I'm going to do tonight and then again on Sunday morning, three messages on the subject of doubt. And tonight I want to talk about, the title of my message tonight is double-minded. Everybody say double-minded. And we're going to talk about what that is. And then Sunday morning, the Lord willing, we're going to talk about how to defeat doubt. Hallelujah. Things we can do to defeat it. Now, we'll begin here in James chapter 1. You got it? Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given unto him. Well, that's probably about all of us. And now let me correct, I didn't call you stupid. But how many know we all need wisdom in areas, right? And so he said, if you need wisdom, if there's a lack, ask God that gives to all men, now notice this, liberally. He doesn't just squeeze off a pinch, and see just how little he can get away with. He gives it to you liberally. And notice this, that the old King James I'm reading out of, it says, he upbraids not, or that means he doesn't find fault. He's not going to, find fault with you, and it'll be given you. But now notice this, verse 6, because this is important. Everybody say this is important. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That's the old King James, but that word wavering, New King James says doubting, because that's the meaning of the word. Waver or doubt, it means both those. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know how the sea, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's the way it is when you're doubting. You're up and then you're down. God's going to do it. And then, you get some not so good circumstance. Oh, well, maybe he's not. I thought God was going to heal me, but now I don't feel any better. And thought God was going to meet my needs, but oh, I'm not seeing anything. How many know what? Water's pretty unstable. That's why if you're out fishing in a boat, you got to have an anchor. Because it's always moving on you, see. And so that's what it's like when you doubt. You just up one day and down the next. I like people that, don't you? I like to be around people that are stable. Right. Yeah. Amen. And so, he said, you're like this, the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now notice this, for let not that man, the man that doubts, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, let's stop there just for a minute. I want to read one more verse, but let's stop there just for a minute. He said, if you need wisdom, ask, and God will give it to you liberally. Well, see, God will give you liberally anything you ask for. But he said, there's the condition is you got to ask in faith, no doubting. No doubting. No up and down. And he said, if you doubt, don't think you'll receive anything of the Lord. Now, I want to remind you who James is, okay? Just so we're clear about this. James is Jesus's half-brother. This is the James right here. There's more than one James in the Bible. But this is the James right here. Amen. The James that lived with Jesus. How many think he probably learned some things about faith by living with Jesus? Think Jesus probably taught him a thing or two just by his lifestyle. So he learned from, no doubt learned some things from living with Jesus. This is that James that's saying, if you doubt, don't think you'll receive anything of the Lord. Are you with me now? Now, I'm not going to listen to these preachers today to tell me it doesn't matter. There's some that are saying that now, Faith doesn't matter. Well, that's not what the Bible says. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to listen to Jesus' half-brother. And even more important than that is the things that he wrote are Scripture. Are you understand that? See, you know, I heard a preacher. I won't call his name. I don't want to. I'm not out to pick a fight here. But I respect the guy. I've listened to him for years. But I heard him say, I was listening to him preach, and I thought he didn't say what he just said. I thought he said. I backed it up. He did say what I thought he said. He said, I don't follow Paul's teaching on finances. I follow him on faith and grace, but not on finances. I thought, now wait a minute here. If Paul missed it on finances, how do we know he got it right on everything else? Now, I don't know if this guy realizes what he just said there. But Peter said the things that Paul wrote are scripture. I'll take Peter's word. I'll take the Bible's word. Amen? Amen. All right, now, so you understand, we got to watch statements like that. So this is Jesus' half-brother that said this. Now, verse 8, he said, this is what we're going to talk about tonight, a double-minded man is unstable. Notice this, not in just a few ways, in all of his ways. A double-minded man. Now, what is this is going to seem simple. What does double mean? Two. Right? Double means two. If you have twins, you had how many? Two. Phyllis has got twin sisters. There's two of them. You don't have one, that's two. Well, at least not in common sense math. I don't know about new math, but you don't, I mean, no, two. So we could, when he says a double-minded man, he says a two-minded man. See, here's what double-minded is. Double-minded is having two minds about something. Two different thoughts about it. It's having two opinions about it. And when we're talking about believing, it's believing this, that two outcomes are possible. Are you with me now? See, we got to get rid of this where we think that there could be, when we're believing God, we got to get rid of this that we could think there could be two different outcomes. That's double-minded. In other words, if we're believing God, there can only be one outcome. Amen. I told you, maybe it was last year, I don't remember now, but I talked about this high wire walker, you know, the guys that walk the high wires, you know. And I talk about this guy from France. His name, he's not alive now. He lived in like the early 1900s in that area, you know. But he was a high wire walker. His name was Charles Blondin. He was from France. And I saw some things about him. I think it might have been last year. And the things that he did, he walked across a high wire across the Niagara Falls, and he'd do different things as he'd go across. One time he pushed a cook stove across. You know, had this little cook stove on a cart, and he walks across it and pushing it across, and out in the middle he stops and fries himself an egg. You know, a kerosene cook stove, you know. I mean, talk about a guy that's got some balance. See, some of you can't even walk to your car without tripping. But this guy's got some balance. And so one day he took a wheelbarrow and he pushed it across. And when he got to the other side, you know, everybody's cheering. You know, what a great job, man, awesome. And he said, how many believe that I could do this with somebody in this wheelbarrow? And they all said, yeah. He said, who'll get in? See, double-minded people say, yeah, but they won't get in. You understand what I'm talking about? See, double-minded people say, yeah, you can do it, but they ain't getting in the wheelbarrow. See, that's the way it is double-minded. You're not totally committed to what you're believing for. In one mind, you'll say yes. In the other mind, you'll say maybe not. And James said, when you're that way, don't even, now notice this, don't even think. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. You ever seen those parking signs that says don't even think about parking here? I mean, it doesn't say don't park it. Don't even think about it. Because if you do, your car is gone. I have a granddaughter. If she drove, that's where she'd park. But anyway, just to see what that meant. I didn't name her. But God bless her. If there was a red button that said, we'll blow up earth, do not push, she'd say, what does this do? Well, it just blew up the earth. Hallelujah. How many are getting a picture of double-minded? See, it's having two minds about it. You know, well, maybe God will, maybe he won't. You know, two different outcomes. Well, maybe he will come through. Maybe he will. Maybe he will. Well, see, that's double-minded. Well, the word maybe means you're double-minded. That means if you're saying maybe he will, that means that you might be thinking maybe he might not. And when you think that way, that's double-minded. See, it's having two opinions about it, two minds about it. You believe him for two different outcomes. And you can't do that and receive from God. When you got to make up your mind, this is the way it is. This is what God said. And I'm not going to think twice. I'm not going to have two minds about it. I'm going to just have one mind about it. This is the way it is. Amen. And so, you know, I heard a story years ago, many years ago now, about this pastor. I think it might have been somebody in her church. And this lady developed a tumor in her body, a cancer. I don't remember whether it was cancerous or not, but they were going to have to take it out. But anyway, it was in her, someplace down in here. Anyway, and she was believing God for healing, all right? Now, there's nothing wrong with going and getting it cut out, but, you know, you need to make up your mind how you want to go about it. You know what I'm saying? And so she made up her mind that, you know, she believed in God for it to be gone. And she went to, you know, she went and, of course, got checked out. They told her what it was and said, you know, we were going to have to take that out. And so she did have an appointment to go get an operation, but she's believing God that before she went into the operating room, she was going to have them check her again and believe God that it was gone, all right, that it wouldn't be there. And so she said, she made them check, now I want you to check me again. They're, you know how they are. They're like, well, you know, well, we already checked. But they forget you're paying, right? You know, they tell you you can't have no visitors and you're paying for the room. You can't tell me I can't have visitors. I'm paying for the room. I'm paying your salary. I mean, I've been there before, and they say, oh, you only got 2 minutes. They're dying. Well, what's it going to matter? So I take 30 seconds off their life. What's that going to matter? You know, see now, that's not, no disrespect to the medical community. You know, my sister was a nurse, you know, and she's retired now. Yeah, no disrespect, but I'm just saying sometimes you get in those places, they think they own you. My grandma fooled them one time. They told her, you know, you're in here, you got to stay in here. She called the cab, packed her bags, and left. She proved, you don't own me. I can go home when I want to. And she did. She just decided she'd had enough of this hotel. It's an uncomfortable bed. They wake up in the middle of the night, and they charge you $600 a night. And if you do want something from room service, where do you see the bill on it? All I wanted is an aspirin. It cost $200. I could have cleaned Walmart out for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. Anyway, where was I at? Anybody know? Huh? The lady with the tumor. Yeah, thank you. She told them, you know, I want checked out again. So they ran the, you know, what is it, the scan thing over, and she's seeing the screen, and they get up there where that tumor is at, and there it is. She said when that happened, this is what she told her pastor, she said when that happened, she said, you know, my heart sank, but said, as soon as my heart sank, I heard the voice of the Lord said, so we walk by what we see now. She said, now, wait a minute here. That's right. I'm believing for healing. She looked up there on the screen, and it was gone. She got more excited about it than you did. I felt a whole lot of hot unbelief coming out right then. Like, I don't. But anyway, even the nurse said, where'd it go? Well, praise God. Who knows? Who cares where it went? Amen. I mean, I've seen growths disappear just like that. Bam, pow. Gone. Where'd it go? It doesn't matter where it went. But my point is see, the devil will try to get you into this double-mindedness, get you to, you know, accept, well, it could be, you know. It's even preached that way in a church. Well, God might heal you. He might not. How many know that's double-minded? How could God answer that? God heal him if it's your will. That's double-minded. You need to find out what his will is. Now, you know, for your personal life, people will often say about Jesus in the garden, well, he prayed, if it be thy will. But he wasn't praying about a provision. He wasn't praying about a promise. He was praying about God's plan. You got to stay that way when it's God's plan. I mean, you always got to be flexible and ready to do whatever God tells you to do. Amen? I'm here in pastoring a church because it was the plan of God. I don't know why he did that to me. I have no idea. I was in a traveling ministry and just, you know, minding my own business, acting like I had good sense. I had more sense than I do now, I think. But anyway, you know, because I just go in and preach and get a love offering. Amen. And now I don't get either one. All right, I'm teasing. You know, love or offering? Okay, all right. I'm teasing you, but help me understand. See, you got to stay flexible, and I'm just, you know, the Lord said, I want you to pray. I got some more things for. I prayed about God's will. I don't know what God's will is, but then when He reveals His will, then you do it. You know what I'm saying? But His provision, I know what His provision is because He tells me in the Word of God what His provision is. It's already there in black and white, so that I don't have to pray if it be Your will to heal me. I know it's God's will to heal me. I don't have to pray if it's God's will to meet my need. I know it's God's will. Now, I may have to change some of the things I'm doing. I mean, if I'm eating 25 Twinkies a day and drinking 12 Dr. Peppers and I got problems, maybe that might be, I might need some wisdom. We had a guy in this church one time, he told me I drink 18 soft drinks a day. Well, I hope you live. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I'm not criticizing him, because some of you drink, Greg, he had one glued to his hand when we first met him. God's delivered him. Praise God. That diet Mountain Dew devil's been cast out of him. I think Terry, well, not totally. Terry, she's not totally delivered yet. But anyway, he's partially delivered. But every time you'd see him, he'd have a mug on his, you know, it's like, I ask him, is that glued to you? I mean, does that come off, or was you born that way? But he doesn't do that any longer. I'm picking on him. I'm having fun with him. But this guy said, I drink 18 soft drinks a day. And one day I stopped, and he worked at a place here in town. I stopped in his office, you know, just as, I don't know why I was stopping. I was stopping to talk to him about something. I stopped in the office, and I got in the receptionist area. Not in his office. I get in the reception area. He's laying in the floor in the reception area, groaning and moaning. That's not good. Now, what's going on? He got kidney stones. Well, probably 18 Mountain Dew, something congealed in there and locked up. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? See, so in that case, you know, just praying for your healing, might as well forget it. You got to stop that. You understand that? See, that's just people that sometimes don't have any common sense, you know. I mean, I'm not saying you can't drink Mountain Dew, but you can't drink it like that. Right? I mean, if you got three teeth loose right now from Mountain Dew, I'd stop it. Drink some water. You know what I'm saying. You know, I'm not legalistic about that. I don't drink Mountain Dew very often, but occasionally I drank two in a row one day. Ooh, that was a dumb decision. I felt like an 11-year-old at a Justin Bieber concert. I mean, I was wired. I mean, man, I'm like, whoa, that was a mistake. Don't do that again. Maybe have one every couple years or so. I don't know, but not two in a row. So, you were like, that can't be good for your body. I mean, something to jack your body up like that, that's got to be bad for you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, your body can process some of the stuff you put in it if you just don't do too much. You understand? You got filters. Use them. Praise God. Amen. So, you know, let's go over to Matthew chapter 14. Come on, let's go there. Matthew chapter 14. So you have to understand that you know, when we're believing God, we can't just allow that doubt to run loose. Now, I don't know that we'll get to that scripture or not, but if we do, then we'll talk about it maybe some more. But Jesus said, and shall not doubt in your heart. Now, see, Brother Hagin helped me with this immensely in his teachings. When he said this, he said you could have doubts in your head and faith in your heart. You understand? See, your mind could be tilting a little bit on the promise of God, but in your heart, you totally believe it. You understand that? So you just got to learn to control that, not let that stop you. But it's when, you know, here's how you know when doubt has gone from your head down to your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you start speaking it out your mouth, you know it's gone from your head down to your heart. See, you know it's in there. See, in your, you know, your head will tell you all kinds of things. You know, how many ever had your head just, you know, it just literally just, it can just go bonkers sometimes, right? But yet, your heart, see, your heart's different than your head. We got to learn this, see, and learn not to be led by your head, not to be derailed by your head, but just make your head line up. Just, no, we're not thinking that way. Just shut up. I'm not going to pay any attention to you. Have you ever had, you know, maybe a little, somebody said, I need to talk to you. And you took it like, we're going to get in a fight. And all day long, you're thinking about what I'm going to say if they say this. And I'm telling you, if he takes a swing at me, man, I'm swinging back. Am I the only one? Come on, James, come on, help me out here. I mean, you rehearse it, and you get there, and all they and you think we're going to get in a big fight because, you know, you didn't like the tone, the way they said it. I need to talk to you. Come on. Have you ever watched John Wayne? You know when he's calling you out, right? And you feel that way. And then you get there, and all they want to do is just bless you. See, it was your head, see. And it'll just take off. And so you got to watch it, amen? Now, Matthew chapter 14, go there. I want you to see this. This is Peter, okay, and he's walking on the water. We've been to these scriptures. You know, this isn't the first time. It's not the last time. We'll go to him again and again. You know, Brother Hagin, he went to Mark 11, 23 and 24 a lot. Did you ever notice that? Amen. Well, you know, I think he said people ask him one time, when are you going to go to something else? He said, when you get this. He never did. I guess we didn't get it. Not totally, right? Amen? Come on. So, Mark 11, Matthew 14. We may go to Mark 11. Don't mess with me. We may go there. Matthew 14, go there, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. That's unusual. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. And they were, you know, now I was reading this. Let me stop here just for a minute. See, God's always got provision for you. I hardly ever let Phyllis drive. Not because she's a bad driver, but I've just always liked to drive. See, we go into meetings, I drive. We drive to Michigan. You need me to drive? No, I drive. I like to drive. You know, I don't mind driving. You know, I don't mind riding either. But you know, for some reason, I was going somewhere to preach years ago. This is before I was ever pastoring. I was going somewhere on a Sunday morning to preach, you know, and I was meditating that scripture in Matthew chapter 14, you know, Jesus, you know, you read before that, and it says Jesus, you know, he was there with the multitudes, and he sent his disciples away, and then he sent the multitudes away. I said, now, wait a minute here. This preacher just sent his ride away. Doesn't he know that? He just sent them away. He has no way. He doesn't have a ride. Every good preacher knows, have a ride after church. You may need it. Always have one ready. See, I got a way out of here. Praise God. Are you with me now? See, always got a way. So, and I'm reading that. Now, that may not be a deep revelation to you, but you didn't know it until I just told you. He sent his ride away. He said, you go to the other side. That's his ride. All the boats are gone. He has no way to get there. But here's what he knows. The Father has called him to spend that evening in prayer. He knows that. So he knows if the Father's called him to spend an evening alone in prayer while his disciples go to the other side, some way or another, the Father's got it covered. Right? See, somehow we think God is as absent-minded as we are. That all of a sudden God realized, oh, man, I forgot. You need a ride. How many of God knows? He knows all the intricate details, right? Are you with me now? See, sometimes I told you this before, but, you know, years ago they had a survey of college students. Do you think God knows about radar? Most of them said no. I think you need some more college or some less. I don't know. You know, and they ask him, do you think he knows about modern computers? Do you know what? I mean, let me tell you something. The most high-tech computer that we have today, it's just, I don't know. What is it? Like an ox cart to God. It's nothing. He just knows everything everybody's thinking all at once at the same time. He can just hear millions of us pray at the same time. He can answer millions of prayers at once. You think that IBM's got anything on him? No, I don't think so. So, Jesus sends his right away, and he just knows Father's going to provide. There'll be something here. Someone will show up with a boat or something. He gets to the lake there, and there's nothing there. And so the Father says, hey, just go for a walk. And he walks out on the water. Now watch this. This is really good. Also, so verse 26 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and saying, it's a spirit or a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Well, you know, we read that and think, well, you big chickens. But let me see. You see, this was the fourth watch of the night. This is between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 in the morning. It's probably still dark. They're out there on a boat and somebody comes walking on the water. What do you think you'd do? You don't think it'd freak you out? Well, you're not answering me, but I guarantee you it would. Amen. You just hear a noise at night. What was that? Go check, honey. We were at our house one time, another house, one of the houses we lived at, and I don't know who did it, but somebody tried to open the back door, you know, the patio door. I mean, I heard jing, 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 you know, trying to get it open in the middle of the night. And I looked at Phyllis and said, do you hear that? Yeah, I heard that. I said, go check and see what that was. If there's any problems, call me. I did say that, but I was teasing. I got up and checked it. Amen. I don't know who it was, but they were gone. It's a good thing because, man, I was ready to take. I was hungry to fight somebody that night. So, thank God. But how many understand? See, you have to understand these disciples. They had these fishermen in these days. They had these superstitions that if you saw, you know, a ghost or something out on the lake at night, it meant you were gonna have a shipwreck. You were gonna drown. So it freaked these guys out, which just naturally it would freak you out if you're just sitting in the boat and you see somebody walking on water and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? You know what I'm saying? And straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now notice this. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, how many know Peter has started out in faith? It took some faith to get out of that boat, didn't it? How many of y'all would do that? Well, you know, if Jesus said, maybe you might, but it takes some faith to do it, right? You know, if Jesus told you to do that, just to step out of that boat and get down over the edge, you know. But Peter did it. He got out, praise God. And it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. I know I say this every time I read this, but that just tickles me, the beginning to sink. It's just like, how do you begin to sink? You don't step off onto the side of a pool and into the water and say, hey, look, I'm beginning to sink. You don't have time. But evidently the water still stayed a little bit firm under him because of the faith, but it's given way, and he's beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? O you of little faith, why did you doubt? I would have thought Jesus said, wow, that was pretty good. You got out of the boat, right? Instead he goes, where's your faith? You think I'm hard, what about this? I mean, I'd have shouted because you got out. Hallelujah! At least you got out. But Jesus, he just said, where's your faith at? See, I saw something one day. See, little faith gets out of the boat, but it takes great faith to stay out. You know, I've seen this, man. I've been serving the Lord for about 39 years now and preaching most of that. So I've seen this. There's a lot of good starters. You know, they start out. They get out of the boat. Hallelujah! Out of the boat. But then they start seeing some circumstances, you know. don't know whether Peter thought if I get out of the boat, all this will die down, you know? My faith will kill all of this. But it didn't. It kept blowing, right? And so he sees the wind boisterous, like if that has anything to do with walking on the water. You know what I'm saying? That had anything to do. You can't walk on the water when it's calm out. You know, it didn't matter whether it's boisterous, right? I mean, there are some things in our life, if God doesn't move, we're in trouble. So it doesn't matter what's going on, right? Doesn't matter. If he doesn't come through, we're in trouble. So what's it matter what the circumstances are? If you need healing, what's it matter what the circumstances are? Well, things got worse. Well, what's it matter? If you need divine healing, that takes the power of God. It doesn't matter how bad the circumstances get. But they're designed to get you to look at them, to get you into doubt, to get you double-minded, to get you to think, what happened here to Peter? He began to think, I could sink here. He gets out of the boat. He sees that as waves, and he thinks, I could die here. I could sink here. What's that? He's believing for two different kinds of outcome. One, he gets out of the boat believing he's going to walk on the water. He's doing it. But then he gets double-minded and thinks, you know what? You could sink when it's this bad out. And then doubt comes in. Double-mindedness comes in. See what happened? He became a man of two minds. And when you're of two minds, what can you receive from the Lord? Nothing. He lost the power, see. Jesus had to rescue him. Now, let's go to one last scripture. Get something tonight? All right, we're closing here. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Let's go there. Luke chapter 12. See, that's what Jesus said in his teachings when he said, you know, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. What was he saying? He's saying if you're not double-minded about it, you don't have two opinions about it. You don't have two minds about it. You don't believe it could be one or two different outcomes, but you just come in single-minded. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to happen. I'm not making room. I'm not making provision. Amen. So we're just single-minded. This is the way God said it. This is the way it's going to be. Amen. Are you with me now? See, you know, a lot of people think, well, you think about my background, man. I mean, my dad had this, and his brothers had this, and my grandpa had this, and my brothers had this. Yeah, but you're redeemed. Don't be thinking that way. Don't get off in that, and stick with what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. You know, I have a friend, he's a dear friend of mine, and a lot of his family have had heart issues and had heart problems, and yet, here he is, he's in his 60s now, and he's still alive, and he's still going. He's had some issues try to come on him, but he's beat it, praise God, amen, and he will continue to beat it. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying because of his faith, he's going to continue to beat it. Maybe others in his family died, even his father died young in his 40s with heart issues. His brothers, some of his brothers, I think one of his brothers died when he was 30 with heart issues. And I think different ones maybe have too in his family. But I guarantee you that's not going to happen to him because he's a man of faith. Now, the devil's tried to attack him in that area, but you know, you just got to stand on your ground and say, no, I'm not receiving this. I'm redeemed. Yeah, but that's your heritage. That's your lineage. No, my lineage is in Jesus Christ now. I'm a chosen generation. Yeah, right. Amen. I'm not of that same old generation. You know what I'm saying from? You listen to what I'm saying. See, all this racism stuff would end if we just realize everybody in Christ, it shouldn't be in the body of Christ to start with. We're all the same Father, God. Are you with me now? You know, we want to brag about our heritage and our family tree and probably got it hanging a bunch of nuts on it or something. I'd brag about my roots in Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to argue black or white or what? You know, see why do we even have to bring it up? Why don't we just be people? I still stick to my theology. There's two types of people. Whether they're black or white, they're Asian, they're Native American, they're Hispanic. There's two types of people in this world, good ones and bad ones, in all the groups. And just because you're a certain color doesn't mean I have to put up with your badness. You're bad. I don't care what color you are. Is that straight enough? I mean, come on, man. You know, people just need to wake up in America. We've got a bunch of crazy people in America about this race stuff. What's it matter what color people are? Well, you got to hire me because I'm this certain color. I don't have to hire you because I hire you because you can do the job and you got integrity. Are you with me? It doesn't matter to me what color you are or what sex you are. I mean, as long as you're one of the two, which is there only two. You know, I had this survey today. I got this email. Want me to take this survey and ask your sex? You know, male, woman, non-binary, whatever that's called, you know. And then started listing three. And it had other. I put, there's only two. That's all I know about. Now, I haven't seen any other. Are you with me now? I mean, I'm almost 60. I'll be 60 years old in a few days. In 60 years, I haven't seen anything but male and female. That's all I've seen. If there's something else, please show us. But there's not. There's confused people, but there's only two sexes. In the beginning, God made them male and female. Amen. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you claim there's more than one, then prove it. Where is it at? There's not. There's only two. Amen. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you afraid you'll offend somebody? No, they're already offended. If you don't know what sex you are, you need some help. I mean, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, you need prayer. Ain't me standing in need of prayer. I know what I am. All right, that went over really big. Praise God. Hallelujah. You should know. How many know you should know? All right, I won't tell that story. All right, are you in Luke chapter 12? All right, look at verse 29. The Bible says, "And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind." That's what the King James says, a doubtful mind. Now, let me talk to you about this word right here, because this is important. This is the only place in the Bible where this word doubtful mind, where the King James says doubtful mind, your translation may say anxious mind. But I want to tell you something about that Greek word there. That's the only place that's used in the Bible. That's it. No other place. One place only. That's it. That doubtful mind is just one word. It's one Greek word, which the King James translates doubtful mind. I think the New King James says anxious mind. But here's what this word means. It means this: to raise in midair, to suspend. In other words, left hanging. How many ever use a front term? They left me hanging, right? All right. My cross reference, this is a Cambridge Bible, it says this about this word. It says, live not in careful suspense. In other words, you know what suspense is, right? That means you don't know the outcome. There's a movie that Phyllis and I have watched a few times over the years. It's actually in color. And it's a really good movie. Some of you have never heard me. Anytime a movie's in color, I'm suspicious of whether it's clean or not. Automatically. Seriously. Now, maybe you're not as strict as I am. I'm not saying you have to be. But I don't watch stuff that violates, that just will corrupt you. You know what I'm saying? I don't just freely watch that stuff, you know. You know what I'm saying? And so this is not a bad movie. It's called Charade. And it's a suspense movie. I don't go for horror movies. They're demonic. But it's a suspense movie. It's like you don't know who did it. You know what I'm saying? All the way through the movie, you know, you're watching this movie. And you're in suspense. The first time I watched it, I didn't know who did it. Now, you got to know me. I can watch a movie. And then the second time, I may not know who did it. Is that the truth? Yeah. Sometimes her and I watch those old movies. We watch them three or four times. I still don't know who did what. What happened? I mean, I don't retain it. I don't know why. I just don't retain it. It's just like, you know, if I've watched it 40 times, I got it. Okay. I mean, there's certain movies I've watched enough now. I got it. But if I've only watched them a few times and it's been a little space between it, I don't remember who did it. And so, you know, in the first time I'm watching this, you know, I mean, Cary Grant's in it and Walter Matthau's in it and who else? Audrey Hepburn's in it, and George Kennedy, James Coburn is in it, and so all through the movie, it looks like the guy that's doing the murders is Cary Grant. But I know this. I've watched too many Cary Grant movies to know it's not Cary Grant. He's a good guy. All right? So, but it sure looked, and I begin to think, well, maybe he went bad this movie. I don't know. Maybe something happened to him. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what happened. Maybe he's gone off the deep end. I don't know. And I'm not going to tell you who did it because maybe you might want to watch it someday. It's called Charade. And you get to the end. You don't know who did it till you get to the very end. It keeps you in suspense. Now, we watched it again, and we've watched it again. I think about the third or fourth time. I still don't remember who did it. But I knew he didn't do it. And I asked Phyllis, okay, tell me who did it. You really want me to tell you? Yeah, who did it? But it's a suspense. In other words, you don't know how it's going to turn out. Jesus said, don't let your mind be that way. Your mind's keeping you in suspense. Like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. You tell your mind, shut up, mind. I know how it's going to turn out. Well, let's finish reading this and we'll close. Look at this now. Verse 29 again. Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. See, oh, he's talking about the things that we need for life. Don't seek those. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we don't have to be living in the suspense because it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And part of the kingdom is everything that we need. The things that the nations are seeking after, God knows we have need of those things. He said, don't seek those, seek the kingdom, and don't live in suspense. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. See, if the devil can get you double-minded, he can keep you from receiving what God has for you, the way God wants it to turn out. See, God wants it to turn out good. And, you know, sometimes God's, you can't say he's late, but he sure is last minute sometimes. I'll tell you this story. Years ago, actually when I first started in the ministry, I hadn't been in the ministry, let me think, maybe about, I started in 82 in the ministry. This would have been about 83, 84. So I'd been a little over a year. Maybe a year and a half. And the Lord dealt with me about going on the radio, having a radio broadcast, just a weekly broadcast, you know. Which it was, you know, so much a week, and it doesn't sound like much now, but in those days it was a lot of money, especially when you're young as I was and didn't have any money. And it was like, I think, $40 a program or something like that. And so anyway, I knew God was dealing with me to do that. I knew he was dealing with me to do that. It wasn't just an ambition of mine. I knew God was dealing with me to do it. So I still got this same Bible. I had a Dake Bible. Anybody ever had a Dake Bible? Now, Dake Bibles are big. I mean, they're large because he annotated the Bible and he spent 100,000 hours and put all of his notes in there, you know. So all his notes are in there. So it's a big Bible. So I put the thing on the floor, not being irreverent, but I stood on it and I said, Lord, because the Lord's doing me just to start this radio program. I said, Lord, I'm standing on your word. I literally was. I said, I'm believing you. And the first time the money doesn't come in to pay that, I'm off. I just made a deal with God. I wasn't being smart aleck. And God accepted that deal. The first time it doesn't come in, I'm off. And I'm just going to trust you to supply. I don't have the money to pay for this, so I just trust you to supply. Well, God is my witness. I went to preach. I think it was that Sunday morning. I went somewhere else besides our church to preach in another church. And when I went into this church and I'm preaching and I get done, this young guy comes up to me. You know, probably in his 30s. I was in my 20s, so we were young. And so anyway, he comes up to me and he says to me, he said, you know what? I believe you're supposed to be on the radio. I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to pay for a week of it, whatever it costs. Praise God, there's a week. And that money began to come in, you know what I'm saying? And so one week, I mean, it's been going good, been going fine, been on for a while, you know, and 1 week, you know, I'm telling you, I would take the money to the radio station. I would actually go there with the money and pay for it, you know, because it was faster than the carrier pigeons we used in those days. And so I would take the money there. And so, and they closed, you know, and the money was due on a certain Friday each month. It was due on a Friday. And so I would take the money there, and they closed at 4:30. And here it is, 4 o'clock. I don't have the money to pay them. So I'm thinking, this is it. I mean, we just got a few minutes here. This is it. You know, when God got a deal, maybe I'm off the radio now. I don't have to do these programs any longer. You know what I'm saying? And so, and about 4 o'clock, right at 4 o'clock, here comes the mailman. He pulls up. He puts mail in the box, and I go out to the box, and guess what? You got it. There's a check for the radio. Pay the whole thing. Yeah. Wow. Amen. You say you only had half an hour. Yeah, but I don't live like a few miles from town. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is Petersburg, Indiana. There isn't a whole lot of traffic. I mean, the most traffic is when the power plant gets off work, you know? And so I go to the bank. I get the money, and I go pay it. But God was last minute, but he was on time. See, it'd been foolish to worry about that all week long. And then God come through the last minute, which I wasn't worrying about it. I just made a deal with God. If you don't come through, you know, and I'll take that as a sign that we're done. Amen. Did you get something tonight? So we have to watch. We don't allow that double mind. We don't approach something thinking, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. We can't waver like that. When we do, it causes us not to receive from God. You can't receive anything from the Lord. He wants to do it, he can't do it because it takes faith for him to move. Praise God. Let's all stand up. Thank God for the word tonight. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.